I know everyone has memories of cracking open some wonderful pistachios. I used to always throw a bag of the classic roasted, salted, wonderful pistachios in the cart when I was grocery shopping growing up. And I remember always having a bowl going in the kitchen while cracking them open. Roasted Salted is still my classic, but recently I've been trying all the flavors, and I must say, even though I love in-shell pistachios for the activity of cracking them open, Wonderful Pistachios, no shell, salt and vinegar might just be my new favorite.
Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. There's 6 grams of protein per 1 ounce serving. That's packing a protein punch. Chili roasted, honey roasted, sea salt and pepper, jalapeno lime. There are so many flavors to try out, and Wonderful Pistachios has become one of my favorite snacks recently. I need my snacks to be a good source of protein, and I love when I can eat snacks with my hands. It's easy, it's fun. What more can you ask for?
I also really like using the no-shell pistachios from Wonderful Pistachios to put on salads or rice bowls. Spring and summer salads are going to be so good. I can't wait to add the jalapeno lime ones to a fresh salad, and I've been using the chili roasted flavor on top of rice bowls recently. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more and find out where you can get Wonderful Pistachios near you. The weather is getting warmer here in Boston, finally, and I'm sure wherever you are in the world, you guys experience the same thing. The second the sun comes out, the second it gets warm, everyone says goodbye to jackets and sweaters and starts wearing spring and summer fits for the rest of time. I don't care if it gets rainy. I don't care if it gets colder again. I'm in spring and summer fits because I'm standing in my power. And I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul this year because it just felt fitting with a new era. And obviously, I want high quality pieces, but I don't want to spend a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and now I have a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. Because these are high quality pieces, they're staying in my wardrobe. The best part is that all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands, and they even show you on the website how much you're saving, which is awesome. Quince partners directly with top factories, cutting out the costs of the middleman and passes those savings on to us. I recently got a really, really nice linen set of like pants and a short sleeve button up, both in white linen, which is awesome. And I know they're going to be my staple all spring and all summer. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/goals for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. Quince.com/goals to get free shipping and 365 day returns. Quince.com/goals.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Girls with Goals with your hosts, Anne Catherine
and Caroline. And today we are talking about Taylor Swift, more specifically, the power and influence of Taylor Swift, even more specifically, the economic impact of Taylor Swift.
It makes complete sense that we're talking about this. Like, we're not just being like, oh, the Eras Tour, yay. We're talking about, like, wow, the economic impact. She's really bringing up the economy.
That's so true, because I feel like most people would literally get on and be like, recap of the Eras Tour, what I wore, what my secret songs were. But that's just, you know, that's not how we do things. Also, I didn't even go to the Eras Tour. And also, if I did, my recapping it, like, it's just not going to do it, you know?
Obviously, because we're talking about this, like, I fully respect Taylor Swift. I think she's an icon. She's a legend. I don't particularly listen to her music. Mm-hmm. It's obviously good, because it has to be to get to this point, but it's just simply not for me. And I feel like the same thing with Harry Styles. I feel this almost, I've always felt it with Harry Styles, but even now with the Eras Tour, it's way more with Taylor Swift. But you either have to be ride or die, like know absolutely everything, completely engrossed and obsessed with Taylor Swift or Harry Styles, or like you feel like you have to hate them.
Yeah.
And like, can we not appreciate her music and like appreciate her and respect without being completely obsessed with her?
No, that's so true, because I feel like because she's created such like a universe around her music and so many trends and like secret little things that have created this community, I definitely agree that people can be very intense with it. And so then if you're just like a mediocre fan, you're kind of like,
right,
you know, because it's weird. I think it's like a weird fandom situation more than you see in most singers. Like, you know, people aren't gonna, like, people love Justin Bieber, but they're not gonna be like, oh, you don't know every single Justin Bieber song, that's so embarrassing, that kind of
right
thing, you know.
Right. Whereas with Taylor Swift, especially now that the Eras Tour has gone like absolutely insane, which is so incredible, you can't not be an absolute super fan.
Yeah,
like it's either 0 or 100, and there's not a lot of room for in between. Mm-hmm. So then I feel like I have to be a zero, but I'm not a zero. Mm-hmm. Like I respect it, and I don't hate her music.
Yeah,
like I will listen to it. I don't like it particularly because it's the only thing Mom knows how to ask Alexa yeah, to play.
Yeah, that's true.
So anytime mom's in the gym or she's like cooking and there's music on, it's Taylor Swift.
Yeah, she's like, Alexa, play Taylor Swift. Or she'll say, Alexa, play Olivia Rodriguez. And then like nothing happens because that's not her name.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it's funny. No, that's very true. Because like,
I don't know. And Catherine's I just not learned one. That like you do the bracelets.
Oh yeah, people have been doing friendship bracelets on.
Yeah,
on
I don't like, know all the things.
I know that's why there's a lot of secret situations. But and Catherine, I don't think would play it like shuffle a Taylor Swift album on her own. But she likes some songs, and I'll play them and she'll sing them along. I can't say I'm making bracelets or anything, but relative to you, I'm definitely a fan. But I do like listening to Taylor Swift, and I think
I'm
a huge
not
part
a fan
of this
of
episode.
Her. Like I do also, like no, her and like her music and enjoy her, but because I'm not a super fan, I feel awkward. Yeah.
No, it's true.
Saying that or making that statement because yeah. I feel like people are going to be like, you actually don't like her because you didn't know about the bracelet.
No, I do like her music a lot, but I feel like especially for part of this episode when we're curious about talking about the power she seems to have created and also the economic impact, like the literal economic impact of the Eras Tour and of her music in general. I think that we both respect her also so much as like a person, especially in business, just like as a woman, as a person. And I think a lot of people feel the same way, which is, I think, says a lot about why she's created that power and how she has, because it's not just one thing. Like, it's not just in business and it's not just in art. It's like she's created this weird intersection of emotion and capitalism, and like she has her power in both ways, because those fans that are so obsessed with her and love her so much and have, you know, made best friendships through it and are making bracelets and like doing all these things clearly have such an emotional pull and an emotional connection to her and her music, as well as her power like in money in general, in the billions of dollars that her music and her tour creates, not just for herself and her company, but for economies and states, as we'll kind of talk about the stats of when she went through the Eras Tour to all different states.
Is it over?
The North American leg is, yeah. I think she's coming back for like some more surprise ones later, but yeah, it's moving on. I think it's, I don't know,
the end of an
somewhere
era.
First. I know, literally the end of an era. But she has power both in the business side of things, how she's taken back ownership of her music and had to build that and create that for herself, as well as just the money that she generates through her music, through everything that she sells. Whether it's like concerts, it's merchandise. I actually was
an
thinking
activity, but beyond just like money. Of course, it has an impact, and you can see it super clearly with the money. But we'll talk about how outside of her tour, like the cities are being, like people are flocking into cities so that they can see her, which brings up all the activity around there, like hotels, restaurants, shops, everything.
Yeah. So she has so much power in business, but she also has so much power in her art, in the way that she writes her own music. She like has a huge hand in what she's creating, as well as now she's owning all of her music and making sure she owns it. But as well as it's just, you know, it's good music in general. It is a strong art. Like, she definitely has created her own kind of genre. And so it's kind of rare, I think, that you see somebody holding power both like on the business side and also on an art side. I think, like,
especially
in general,
at this scale,
I think in general you either see like, oh, you want to do something artistic, that's not like strong business person type vibe,
or you do it as an independent artist, and whether it's like music or literal like painting on a canvas, whatever it is, you do that like you and yourself and maybe a small little team.
Yeah,
but to be this gigantic and this impactful and still have so much control and power over what you're doing and continue to gain more is really impressive.
Yeah, they continue to gain more, I think, is so interesting, because if you look back on it, like Taylor Swift, you can't watch anything on the TV, any news commercial, any TikTok, any Instagram, like without seeing something about Taylor Swift. She's so famous right now, and she's so prominent in the media and literally in culture right now. But it's not like she's brand new. Like, she's not somebody who just popped up.
She's been
successful.
Like, A-list forever.
Like, she's been successful. I remember, like, we were in middle school in Hong Kong, and we like sang Shake It Off in choir or something, you know, like that was so long ago. That was literally,
or like the Hannah Montana movie, she's in it. All these movies, like, she's in it.
And Love Song was probably like 12 or 13 years ago.
Oh,
like that first
no,
debut
we sang
album
a Taylor Swift song in
elementary school talent
what,
show.
What year was that?
What, like, I don't know,
a
first
solid
grade, second grade,
like second grade,
maybe fourth grade,
maybe fourth.
Who knows, it might
something
have been
like that. But like, and what was it, we did the the Hannah Montana dance.
Yeah, that was Miley Cyrus, though. She wasn't
the
hoedown
throwdown.
Like,
yeah, but she was in
the
movie.
Hoedown
we did that
throwdown
in, like, second grade.
Yeah.
We kind of, like, talent show.
popped off but at like, those talent
shows. For them to be that big when we were in second grade, and yeah. now it's however many years later, and she's yeah. even bigger.
Yeah.
Is so crazy.
I think about that too, because she was so successful already then, but the level of success she has now is like astronomically bigger. Like, I don't know how you can even measure that numerically, like money impact, but probably at least 10 times bigger. And so it's so interesting that like there kind of was no ceiling there. Like, she has probably so many more achievements and numerical achievements and money created and songs output. She continues to like kind of break her own boundaries. Like, it's almost like she's paving right. the way, and she keeps doing more and setting that standard to more. Mm-hmm. Whereas I feel like sometimes, whether it's a level of fame or level of success or just like level of your lifestyle, you know, sometimes when we think we've gotten there enough or done enough, a lot of people, which is not necessarily a wrong thing to just sit in that and enjoy it. Like, that's mm-hmm. just a different choice in life. But I think you see that more often is like people hit a certain level and like it's clear they've kind of peaked out. When they've peaked out, you don't usually see a double peak in a way, because there are times I think when she's gone up and down, and now she's just having like a crazy huge peak yeah. more than ever. But I don't think you see somebody's career like stay so successful and grow mm-hmm. even more successful after such a long period of time.
Yeah, low-key Justin Bieber kind of the same.
Yeah, he had a
or
comeback.
People were talking about Selena Gomez's Eras tour. I would, if Justin Bieber did an Eras tour, that would honestly...
If Miley Cyrus did an Eras tour, for me personally.
She's done some of them before.
She should do something like that. Because I feel like she's kind of in her time right now where she's, like, reflecting on growth.
Honestly,
and on
I think
past.
A Miley Cyrus Eras tour would hit harder than, not yeah. economically, but, like,
vibes-wise.
But, no, like, for everyone.
Yeah.
Even if... Because they're so distinct.
True. She
Taylor
has very
Swift's
distinct
eras. Taylor Swift's eras, like, they're different.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how many she has.
But like, it's every album, they're, like, seven?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, whatever. They're very different from each other, but, like, at the end of the day, they're all pretty similar. Like,
they give her similar vibes.
Yeah. But Miley Cyrus, you could put on, you would feel like you left there at, like, 17 different shows.
You would listen to, like,
because the difference between, like, The Climb and then
Milky Milk Bar.
Yeah. Like, Miley Cyrus and Her Dead Pets. And then,
what
like,
is it, the Pablo the Blowfish?
That's a good song.
Super Pablo underrated song by Miley Blowfish. Cyrus. Pablo the Blowfish. You should definitely
look
that up.
Good. Like, imagine going from Malibu, Miley yeah. Cyrus, to Pablo the Blowfish.
We're getting sidetracked. We can't. But that should happen. I think a huge part of about recently why she is so prominent has to do a lot with her output. It's like she's yeah. always in the news about something new. Like, it's not like we're talking about the same exact thing over and over. Like, she's always adding something new, and I think she does a good job of creating momentum off of something. Like, she'll announce the mm-hmm. tour, and then she makes another dramatic announcement about a few added shows, and then another dramatic announcement about, oh, now we're having surprise songs. Yeah. So then people are listening to see what the surprise songs right. every show. Like, there's so much output in what is, like,
not
what
even
she's putting
with
out
announcements
for people to
talk about, but with, like, her personal life.
Yeah.
Or what was it? Her, like, changing lyrics, I think, went kind of crazy. Which isn't, yeah. like, a, here's an announcement, but, like, little changes.
Yeah.
That gain a lot of hype. Or the suspicion of her splitting from,
yeah,
her, like,
her
low-key
ex.
Husband. Well, did everyone think they were married?
Maybe, yeah, there might have been a rumor
like
about
low-key
secret marriage. They're together for a while.
And now she's obviously in the media with
Travis Kelce.
So that's, like, even more hype.
Yeah.
Because when you drop something like that, that's not, it's not connected to her tour.
Yeah.
But because her tour is going off and her personal is going off, like, when two waves meet, like, their amplitudes,
yeah.
they add up.
Yeah.
You add them. So then it's doubled.
Like, and I think she's really smart about how she does that. And I feel like the word calculated, I feel like, sounds kind of negative, but I definitely, like, all of those moves are calculated.
No,
she's incredibly
yeah.
smart that, like, her having all
and
of these Easter eggs yeah. and all of these surprises and all these things, it keeps her being talked about because
right.
there's something small and new, but it's, like, different enough and new enough almost every
yeah.
week that it's going to be a new headline.
Right. That's not saying her getting with Travis Kelce is calculated. That's saying her deciding when to show that to the public is calculated
right.
and intentional, and her deciding what the paparazzi sees and takes photos
right.
of and
though
distributes
it definitely
is
might
calculated
be because
and
I have
intentional.
A conspiracy theory about that one, but
well, it could be too convenient, but
yeah.
like, who are we to speculate?
Exactly.
But she's very intentional and crafted, and like, the marketing works. We've said the marketing works.
Exactly.
Taylor
like,
Swift's marketing
I guess,
works.
Okay, when it comes to her being at Travis Kelce's game that first time, I definitely heard her in an interview once say that you know, you don't have to be seen unless you want to be seen. Because when you're at that level and, right. like, you have a crew and you have bodyguards, like, how many times has she walked out of stadiums, like, hidden in trash cans and hidden in popcorn things and stuff like that? Like, there's all these funny things about how you get around places right. when you're famous and to not be seen. So to be front and center in that box with cameras on you, like, that was a choice to be seen. And that doesn't mean that it's, like, a malicious thing, but that was a chosen move. Like, yeah. I think she chooses everything she does. Which is cool
that
she has
enough power that she can do that and that she's smart enough that she can make these choices to sculpt her momentum and to sculpt her success yeah. almost.
The output is also the legitimate output of songs and content that she's putting out. Like, right, the like fact
she
that
has a lot of content.
2020 COVID year, she put out two big albums back to back. They each have deluxe editions. Then she's re-recording every album and reviving mm-hmm. them, as well as with each re-record, right. adding like six extra songs. And then she'll come out with, oh, we have a bonus extra one. Other than that, oh, there's a bonus little short film going along with it. Like, so much content that even when I think I like other artists better or appreciated other artists more, like, she won't leave the top spot of my Spotify Wrapped every year because there's
she's just there.
She's just there. Like, the output is unmatched to a level where, like, you know, if I'm just doing a shuffle of my music, she's most the
probability.
Of it. Or she's giving the most new stuff, so then I listen to the album all the way through, and then there it is.
Like, she's staying relevant because she always has something new and fresh
mm-hmm.
to revive people's enjoyment and, like, excitement.
Yeah.
There's always excitement going on.
And I like the revive because it's like she literally brings back an old album. Nothing is different. It sounds exactly the same, other than the new songs. Like, the re-records are the same.
Some TikToks,
but she totally revives it.
I've seen some TikToks of the old songs, and they were like, some of these were, like, bad vocally, like,
really?
The new ones are, like, so much better.
Oh,
well,
okay.
Because obviously she's not 18, she's like, older.
Okay, interesting.
And so she's better, because she's been doing it for much longer.
With doing that, like, when she's reviving these albums, it's like she's also reviving the drama surrounding them. Like, when Dear John drops for a second time, people are then for a second round on learning. John Mayer, especially because now they know more of what they think the story is. So let's talk about the money. Specifically with the Eras Tour, we're seeing more stats about how much money, one, Taylor's making from everything she's doing, but also the overall economic impact of it. I've seen so much surrounding that. I think especially with the economy struggling a little bit and, like, that being a topic of news in general, to see the actual impact that the Eras Tour has had on specific cities and states and on the country in general, how other countries are asking her to come because they know it'll boost their economy.
That's so fire.
Is just absolutely wild. Like, to be able to have an impact outside of yourself is so crazy. The Eras Tour in general, a projected gross of $2.2 billion in ticket sales alone. So that's, like, what Taylor and her team and the whole orchestration of it is generating. I would say there's obviously, like, merch on top of that. Plus, she's had an 80% spike in listeners of her music. So, you know, the money that we're getting from all the extra streams is significant as well. So I think it goes beyond that.
That's a lot of people.
That's a huge increase. Beyond that $2.2 billion created by the ticket sales for her and her team, the greatest impact has actually been on all of the places that she's going to. In total, the Eras Tour is projected to generate $5 billion in consumer spending outside of that. So that's, like, on all of the outfits and decorations, and we're making the friendship bracelets, and on transportation to get there, and on dinners, and on hotel stays. Like, all of these cities were also showing that they were having fully booked hotels throughout the city for the first time in mm-hmm. forever, because people were just flocking. Like, it became tourism for this time, especially, I think, because coming out of COVID and people hadn't been traveling as much as they might before.
It'd be, like, so funny if she did an interview and she was like, no one's going to ask her what she does because everyone knows what she does if they're interviewing her. But if this one's, like, asking her what she did for work, and she can just say tourism. I'm in tourism.
She creates tourism. So the amount of spending that would happen on every night of the Eras Tour, like, every single show, every single city, was on par with the amount of spending that the Super Bowl generates. The difference is just that she did it 52 times. So she did that, and it's like she brought the Super Bowl to every city multiple times. No, I think 5 months. Or no. Yeah, something like that. And so you can see that knowing that so many states are like showing their appreciation for her, and so many places are also asking her now to come because they want to have those effects and they want to boost their economy a little bit. Like it said New Jersey named a sandwich after Taylor Swift. And then the Chilean president, the mayor of Budapest, and Canadian prime minister have all requested that she come to their countries as well.
Do you want to learn a new language? Maybe for an upcoming trip, maybe to better connect with friends who speak other languages, maybe you just want a new skill. Rosetta Stone is going to help get you there. When talking about Rosetta Stone, I always think about when we were maybe 5 years old and our dad started traveling to China for work. He used Rosetta Stone for Mandarin, and obviously Caroline and I would use it too, especially when we found out that we were going to move to Asia. That is such a core memory for me, and I can so vividly remember speaking into the computer, listening to the audio and like matching it so vividly. And the best thing about Rosetta Stone is that Rosetta Stone offers a lifetime membership. So you can buy the program now and get forever access to all the lessons, all the languages, forever. So I've been using this lifetime membership to pick back up my Mandarin, and let me tell you, Rosetta Stone is incredible. The way that it is so immersive has me back to being confident in my Mandarin so quickly, and you can even start from scratch. Of course, they have 25 languages to learn, and it's immersive. You learn it naturally, and you should definitely check it out. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Girls with Goals listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
If you're in college or high school and are looking to build your credit up, then the Ambition Card by College Ave is for you. This is a card that helps you safely build a positive credit history while you are in college.
We talk a lot about financial literacy and making sound financial decisions. Cue literally every conversation we've had on dupes and making smart finance decisions ever. And building a solid credit history helps so much, especially when you can get ahead while you're in college.
The Ambition Card helps you prepare for post-grad living with no late fees, no interest charges, and no credit check to qualify. Making payments on time will help positively impact and build your credit score.
The Ambition Card is specifically designed to help you, not hurt you, and you may not realize how important building a positive credit history while in college is right now, but I promise once you've graduated and are looking into renting your own apartment, opening a new credit card, starting a business, asking for a loan for anything, car insurance, getting a new car, your credit history sticks with you and has the opportunity to get you good deals and loans in the future if it's good, which is why I think this Ambition Card is such an amazing opportunity to get ahead of building your credit and start strong.
It's easy to get started. You can transfer money to your account and even set your own spending limit too. You've got money goals, and the Ambition Card will help get you there. Check it out at ambitioncard.com. The Ambition Card is issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Results may vary. Credit history is impacted by a number of factors.
And then most recently is her little romance with Travis Kelce, which is in the news and that so many people are rooting for, because I actually do think that if legit, that would be a good pair. I like how it looks. But it's funny how everyone's like, oh my God, Taylor Swift put Travis Kelce on the map, and like making jokes about that. But in a way, like, not that he was not known before. He's a successful football player and like one of the top. Well, like, I hadn't really heard his name. Like, yeah, people really weren't talking about
him.
But
the people who watch football know who he is. They're like, no, yeah, football. Of course. That same audience is now like aware of, or more aware of, Taylor Swift. So they just like swapped audiences a little bit. So I think that's what happened. It's not, she didn't put him on the map. Obviously, he's in the NFL. He's on the map.
He's on the map.
But now her audience is obsessed with him.
Yeah.
And his audience, I'm sure there's some crossover. Yeah. Like, now they're interested and more aware of Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm. And that's very clear, because after she showed up at that one NFL game, before, he was the 19th most popular in jersey sales and like,
so he was on the map. Stuff.
You know, he was definitely on the map. After that one show that she showed up at, he had a 400% spike in sales, and he moved from the 19th most popular to the 5th most popular.
That's so funny.
So it's kind of like everywhere she goes, like, just her presence, like, creates...
Has an effect.
Creates Has talk an and creates yeah. power and, like, legitimately creates money as well.
Especially with... Because her community is just so... strong, and that's where the whole like obsession super fan like 1,000,000% in support of her comes from, or like that is where this effect comes from, because her fans are like, oh, she's at the game, I have to have his jersey.
So I feel like the question is, how does a person create that type of power and influence? Because it seems relatively unmatched at this moment, the amount that she's been able to create. I think that, like, something that has to be noted on top of all of the other ways that she's, like, a smart businesswoman and that she can work hard and create a lot is, like, the product has to be good.
Right.
Because people wouldn't be so invested in the world that she's creating. If the
music sucked, it would not get
this far. They wouldn't be as invested in the storyline behind it if the music itself wasn't also catchy and good. Because, like, we're not just hyping up, like, oh my god, everyone's gonna go after Jake Gyllenhaal after the song comes out. Like, people aren't gonna do that if they don't click with the song and they don't relate to the song. Like, they're not gonna create all the hype about the stories behind it and the possible scandals and, like, creating mm-hmm. that. So the product and whatever, like, your core offering is, it has to be good. And then she uses so many tactics to layer on top of that. Mm-hmm. She layers on top of that in a way that I think gets people talking about it without her really having to do anything. Because she's used her creativity and her art.
Like, she does something once and people run with it. She doesn't have to keep pushing that same thing.
Exactly. Right? And I think that's where you see a difference between, like, celebrity and, like, superstar, like, mega someone. Or, like, the difference I always consider between, like, influencer and creator to celebrity. And
celebrity, yeah.
You know? It's like, are you constantly putting out the product and feeling like you're having to promote it yourself? Or is over it that, like, again
for it to have an impact?
Yeah, you've created storylines that are being talked about no matter what. And, like, that's what Taylor has done, especially through her music, because she's always filled her music with all of these Easter eggs and threads through songs. And people get obsessed with figuring out little codes and riddles in her music and connecting all of these dots, so that it sparks all these conversations that people are having with each other all over the internet, that people are having with each other in real life. And everyone is kind of, like, working together to decipher this and hear other people's opinions. And so that's creating viral TikToks and conversations that she's not creating, you know? Like, when you create talk that is about yourself and creates all these conversations mm-hmm. surrounding it, I think that takes power and influence from one level to a whole other level.
Right.
Because it's not then just about who's listening, it's about who's talking. And then I think a huge reason she has so much power is the relatability in her music. I think she's such a good storyteller and she conveys so much emotion in her music, but in kind of a deeper way than other people do. A lot of the mm-hmm. time it does take you kind of having to, like, crack that code a little bit. But also, all of her music does feel very relatable to people. And I think in the way that she expresses it in such a storytelling way, like, it feels kind of more intimate than something else. And so I think that in her music itself, the relatability that she has, but also that ability to connect with people through the complexity in it, I think makes people who listen, and especially those that are super fans, feel like they have this personal connection.
Mm-hmm.
So even though she's a celebrity and lives a very different life than everyone who's listening to her music, she creates such relatability in the music that people feel like they have this, like, friendship and one-on-one connection with her. And then I think people gain an even stronger connection with her, or a stronger admiration for her, with kind of the way that she holds herself. I think she's a good example of somebody who sticks to their values and shows up as a very strong person. Like, I think she kind of holds that confidence and always shows up as a strong person. And even when things come at her, like, I think the media likes to clown on her a lot. She had that whole Kanye West situation, like, way back, and just things like that. I think she really always remains confident and strong through that. And so I think people watching that, as well as watching her be such a strong, smart business person, take ownership over her music, like, you know, start conversations about the music industry in those ways by doing things that are so out of the box or that people haven't stepped into in the past, I think people then have this next level of admiration for her as well, because one, they feel like they have that personal connection through her music, but then on this other side of things, in, like, the way that she lives her life and stuff, I think she holds up a strong standard mm-hmm. of a person.
So enough about Taylor Swift, and now let's talk about you and how, of course, like Karen said, Taylor Swift is not the normal person. Like, she is she's the number one private jet user in America. Like, she takes her jet to the grocery store. She doesn't even go, surely she doesn't go grocery shopping for herself. But this, like, mega star level of power and confidence, it can still be taken and applied to your life, even though none of us are taking our private jets to the grocery store, and I will never have a private jet. Yeah. Like,
just because somebody else feels like they have an extreme amount of power and influence in the world doesn't mean that you don't still have, like, a sliver of power for you to take for yourself as well. Like, everybody can find that and create that.
This is, like, power within yourself, like, personal empowerment within your friend group or at work, whatever level you are. Maybe you're entry level, but, like, having this confidence and this sense of power and these skills, like, people skills, communication skills, are huge. Yeah. And she just does it on a giant stage, but, like, you can still take these and use her as an example and use her for life lessons and take some of these advice almost from watching her, listening to this episode and some of the, like, power talk that we've discussed.
Mm-hmm. So I think looking at her and what seemingly has created her success and all of the power that she has, I think looking at what those qualities are that anybody can uphold, confidence for sure, persistence, because she's always been very persistent. Like, she's had a long career and things have definitely been thrown at her along the way. But I think that she's really good at, instead of when other people would kind of crack and hide from things, she makes very loud comebacks. That shows the persistence and the confidence, because she doesn't stop moving forward, and usually she kind of comes back with a little bit of a fuck you in one way or another. I think vulnerability and honesty, that really goes into that relatability and forming connections with people. And then also intelligence, because things don't necessarily happen to her by chance. She's very smart about what she does as well.
Confidence is truly at the core of, like, every single thing we talk about, because you cannot be powerful if you are not confident and sure of yourself and, like, believe that you deserve to have the power.
That's very true. It has to be intrinsic first, or else you're never going to create external power if you don't have,
it's not, like, gonna be effective. It's not gonna have that if you don't, like, have power over yourself.
Valid. I think another one is to stick to your values. Like, even when she's clowned on and called a hoe for, like, dating people, even when she has
clowned on and called a hoe.
I mean, is that not valid? A little bit. Because I feel like she would always, the narrative was that she just, like, dates a lot of people and writes breakup songs about them, and then people would kind of make jokes.
Right. So I saw someone say that this is her 13th relationship.
So they think that's, like, it's the one, because 13's her lucky number.
Yeah, but then I was like, 13 is, like, a lot. But also, a lot when every single relationship is public.
Yeah, that's what that I mean. Like, you could have just, like, a situation.
Like, you could talk to someone once, and, like, they're like, oh, in the media,
people count it as your I always think number about 12. That with famous people. I'm like, how can you casually date? Because I think the second we see somebody pictured with another person, we assume relationship. They're dating. Like, what if you just go on a couple of dates with someone, you know? Right. They're not your boyfriend. Anyways, but I think through all of those things, like, she's never stopped the way that she acts. Like, even when people say those things, it's like she still continues to date, and she still continues to date in public. You know, like, she stays true to herself no matter what other people are saying. I think that's really huge and is gonna carry you a lot through life, you know, if you can just keep doing you and not be so affected by what other people's standards are and what they're talking about. Also, like we talked about in the beginning, building something off of what you're good at and passionate about, because building anything and creating, you know, I guess we're using the word power a lot in this, but creating something, it takes a lot of work. And you're going to be more willing to do the work, more excited about doing the work, and it's going to feel a lot less like work when you do something you're passionate about. Likely, that also means that it's something that you're good at and you have a talent for. And, you know, that doesn't always have to be some sort of singing or performing. Like, it can literally be...
When you have big goals and a busy schedule, like all Girls with Goals listeners do, because that is exactly why we are here, it can be so difficult to actually find time for wellness. Even though it's a core value for all of us, small wellness habits can easily be buried by everything we have going on. This is why we have Fleur Marché. Fleur Marché delivers simple, quality, affordable wellness solutions for life's daily challenges. It's founded by women and inspired by the female dreamers, hustlers, and activists on the front lines of change And their mission is to help you feel 100% every single day with fun and easy to understand plant-powered wellness products. Caroline and I have both been using the Fleur Marché Botanical Wellness Patches and have really, really enjoyed them because they're so easy and honestly so cool. They're different than a lot of the products I've used in the past for sleep, relaxation, focus, and relief, which are just some of the patches that Fleur Marché offers. Because they're both effective and fun, I think that's why I've been more intentional about this wellness habit with Fleur Marché, because I actually enjoy using the patches. So go check out all the patches and all the products that Fleur Marché has for you and try them for yourself. Find your new wellness essentials at fleurmarché.com and get special discount just for our listeners. Get 20% off your first order site-wide with the promo code GOALS at checkout. Go to fleurmarche.com and use code GOALS for 20% off your first order.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
Working in marketing.
Yeah, like marketing. If you really love writing, then there's a lot of ways that you can write. Yeah.
Doing like literally any normal person job.
Yeah.
Like working construction or working at a coffee shop. Yeah. Like if you like what you're doing, the opposite, if you don't like what you're doing, you're going to hate doing it. Mm-hmm. And you're going to make it so much worse for yourself.
Yeah. Whereas, and you're not going to move forward anywhere because it's going to show. Whereas if you love something, then you're way more motivated to do it. You're going to do a better job. You're going to have a happier face when you're there. So you're going to meet more people and make more connections. Like, it just kind of is how it goes. Following up on that, building strong relationships. We didn't talk about that too much in this episode, but I think she seems to have like some really strong girlfriends and people that you've seen her like being best friends with for years. I know they're was like, I don't know, years and years ago, people were always like, oh my god, Taylor Swift has the best girl group, blah, blah, blah. But I do think that it seems like she has strong relationships and strong circles, and I also think that she is very supportive of other women. Like, she doesn't try to put other people down to get ahead. Right. She's always
just like being nice and supportive in general is gonna get you so much farther than if you were not nice or
exactly
like outright mean.
Yeah, like I saw her, she posted something on Instagram about Beyonce the other day. Beyonce came to the opening of her like movie concert, and she was saying like how much Beyonce helped her in the industry. And then, you know, she's bringing Sabrina Carpenter on tour. She's bringing another woman up. Yeah, Sabrina Carpenter's going to the Latin America tour, I think. She's opening, you know. So I think that she always has had good friendships around her and also been very supportive of other women, even if it's just in setting the standard, saying like, you can fight for the ownership of your own work, you can do a 3-hour long show even when people say that's like impossible, and do that over and over. Like, even when it's just setting the standards for what a woman can do, that has been a huge piece of her success because people want to support her back. Thank you guys for listening to this episode. I hope that it was interesting for you guys to listen to. I know when we look on Spotify and we see an overview of our listeners, we can see who your favorite artists are, and Taylor Swift always at the number one of that as well. Oh, yeah.
Who? What are other ones?
I think I've seen, I think it's been like Taylor Swift, Olivia Rodrigo, Drake, SZA maybe? I don't know. Like, SZA. Yeah. I haven't looked in a second, but I just know that Taylor Swift's always number one. I feel like our demographic, we're like 98% young female. We definitely have a lot of Taylor listeners in there. And I just think, you know, people love to talk about her and talk about kind of like the drama surrounding different things. But I have definitely always been impressed, or I guess more recently impressed, as she's kind of in this whole new era, if you will, in like just how hard of a worker she is and how good she is at what she does and how smart she is about it. And so I think it's really interesting to look at Taylor's life from that lens, while I also do love her music. And then, what is your favorite song? Like, if you were to choose like some songs that you like off the top of your head,
songs in general.
No, Taylor Swift songs. I feel like we should throw a few out there. Crazier is from the Hannah Montana movie, and it's really sweet. Like, I would definitely make that my wedding song one day.
The other day Paris came on, and I went, every time I switch the music when Caroline cues it if I'm, like, not matching the vibe. Because if I'm driving, like, you have the little clicker on the steering wheel. And I'll, like, switch the songs when, if I'm not getting the vibes. Mm-hmm. If she's on aux, because she's passenger gets aux.
Right.
And I went to switch Paris the other day. And she's like, no, you actually like this one. I was like, no,
this is one that you like.
Is one you like. So yeah. I like Paris.
August is good. I don't know if you know that one. It's like a little bit slower, but I realized I really like August.
Our song.
Long Live classic. Is a classic.
Teardrops. No, Picture to Burn.
Classic. That's so old. In Midnights as well, I feel like some underrated one.
Is that the one? One that underrated just came out?
One, I think. Yeah, that was last October. I don't think but I Glitch. To that. I really liked Glitch from that.
Is that what Paris is from?
Yeah. Yeah, they're kind of next to each other. I like Maroon from that album as well, too. I like a lot. Champagne Problems, The One. I think Evermore's a good album, too. It's, like, a little bit slower.
I don't know them enough to, like, separate them into albums. But I like Teardrops on My Guitar and Picture to Burn and Our Song.
Those are so classic. I like it.
And though. Paris, I guess.
True. Oh, I will put a poll up on this episode if you're listening. That's on Spotify. Fine. I'll put a poll up where you guys can submit your favorite songs as well. Then we can see the responses and we'll post them. So if you're listening on Spotify, you can go submit a response and you can also see other people's responses if I've updated those. Thank you guys again for listening. Make sure you're following the podcast account on Instagram and TikTok at Girls With Goals Pod.
At Catherine Kanine and at Caroline Kanine for our personals. And speaking of Taylor Swift being impressive and impressing herself, if you want to impress yourself, merch, Impress Yourself collection.
We got it.
I'm wearing it right now if you guys are watching on YouTube or seeing a clip on TikTok or Instagram. But link is in the bio as well as, link is in the description as well as links to all of our socials. So click on over, explore, check out more things, and go listen to Taylor Swift if you want to.
We love you guys. Listen to Taylor Swift. Listen to us. Do them back and forth. It's a great vibe. We will see you next Monday.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.